Today's sponsor is Audible, with an unmatched selection of audiobooks, original audio shows, news, comedy, and more. Get a free audiobook with a 30-day trial at audible.com/decode. Today's show is also brought to you by Videoblocks, a stock media company with clips that everyone can afford. With a Videoblocks subscription, you get unlimited daily downloads from a library of 115,000 HD video clips, After Effects templates, motion backgrounds, and cinemagraphs. On average, subscribers pay less than $1 per download over the course of a year. Everything is 100% royalty-free. Even if you cancel your subscription, you keep what you download and maintain usage rights forever. Get your yearly subscription today for only $99 at videoblocks.com/ask. And finally, we'd also like to thank Qualcomm for making today's show possible. First, they connected the phone to the internet. Now they're connecting the internet to everything else. Qualcomm, they're the restless inventors bringing the future forward faster. Hi, I'm Kara Swisher, executive editor of Recode.
And I'm Lauren Good, senior editor of technology at The Verge.
And this is Too Embarrassed to Ask, a podcast that's all about making technology easier to use and understand.
If you have questions about technology that you've been too embarrassed to ask, you have found the right podcast. I like to say no question is a bad question.
You like sometimes to say that a lot. Kara, we're going to have to change that line soon. We're
wrong have and I ask bad script. Questions.
I think we need a new script. But every question is a bad question.
Send
a lot
all
of you are asking
anyway.
How to submit your questions, so here's the best way to do it. First, you can tweet them to @Recode or to myself or to Lauren with the hashtag TooEmbarrassed. That's two R's and two S's in embarrassed, in case you cannot spell.
Thanks, Kara.
No problem.
We also have an email address. Some of you have been sending us your questions via email. Thank you very much. The email address is TooEmbarrassed@Recode.net.
Yes. You can find all our past episodes at iTunes.com/TooEmbarrassedAsk, and while you're there, leave us a review.
So, Kara, did you hear there's an Apple event next week?
I read about it on Recode, yes.
Recode.net.
Yes.
Are you going?
No. I never go to them anymore.
You don't?
No.
I have a picture of the two of us sitting together.
Yes, that
at
was
Apple
like
event.
5 years ago, right?
Was
like,
it?
Yeah, I've been to many. It's sort of like Rolling Stones concerts. I'm pretty much done with them. I don't need to see them sing Satisfaction
you
again.
You mean U2 concerts?
Yeah, whatever.
If we're really relating it to Apple.
No,
events.
I'm just saying they're like the Rolling Stones, right? Okay, here comes
you were
Nick.
At the Watch event, I think.
I was. Was that when they had that thin? I had one of the computer events. That was the last
I
one.
Think it was when they first announced the MacBook.
Yes,
which is not the MacBook Air or the MacBook Pro. It's
whatever
another MacBook.
That one, the skinny one they had hanging from the ceiling. Remember, it was like so light and lively. It was hanging from the ceiling. I have not gone in a while, but Dan Frommer and Ina Fried are going from Recode, mm-hmm. and they will enjoy themselves.
And a whole bunch of us are going from.
Yes, I'm sure. I'm sure you have a team. You have a SWAT team.
Yeah,
like go in there.
Team six.
Headphones. They don't have a clue. Quit and post up quick. Oh my god.
Like, yes. It's remarkably well.
that'll be just one post. The next one will be like, what's with the dongle? There's a dongle. I'm gonna be enjoying
just for this.
No, I'm gonna sit
you
out. I'm gonna
Facebook
do a Facebook
live.
I'm gonna sit there and watch like Nilay Patel have his head blow off when they like introduce something you didn't know about, something like that. Scramble the jets. Oh my god. I'm very happy you get a lot of traffic from it. I don't know. It'd be nice if they came out with something interesting, but it's like a new iPhone,
what?
Right?
You know what?
Right?
Tim Cook is going to roll out
yes,
in a car,
yes.
and you're going to be so bummed.
He might roll out. I heard that. Everyone's always speculating on the invitation. It has headlights.
That was my speculation.
Oh, was it? That was good. That was a good story. That
Thank
was
you.
Good.
Of course, I was
that.
About 24 hours late.
Yeah.
It took me 24 hours to think
figure
of
it
that
out
after I
headlights.
Got the invitation. I think
he's going to roll out a car. Do you think he's going to roll out a car? That would be
no,
good. Okay,
probably.
I would like that. That would be cool.
Then you're going to be sad that you missed it.
Not really. No.
See, this is what we like
what
to
am
do.
I doing
we like
that
to set
day.
Expectations really high, and then just everyone comes crashing
think
down
I,
to earth.
I think I'm cutting my toenails that day. I think that's what I'm doing that
you're
day.
Updating your iPhone.
Updating my I don't know what I'm doing. I'm organizing my sock drawer. It's going to be great.
By the way, you still have my socks.
The socks are going over the left. Oh my god, what do I do with this? Oh my god, I forgot the socks today. I forgot to bring them for you.
Yeah, you forgot the Bumba socks.
I will bring them next week.
All
sorry,
right.
I totally forgot.
Well, this week's episode, we're not actually talking
no.
about Apple.
No.
Even though we may have led you down that path just now. So, my sincere
we're
apologies.
We're going to do special guests. I will be on your show, though. That will be fun.
Are you?
I don't know.
Are you going to be on my show?
Whatever.
You're going to be on our show?
Our show.
Thanks,
I want to give it to you this week.
Like
but anyway, because Apple
show.
Is yours.
Eric
Apple
is
yours.
Eric is just shaking
Apple
his head
is
right
yours.
Now.
Yeah, okay,
so next
what are we
week,
talking
we
about this week?
Next week, we're going to talk about Apple. We're going to have some special guests.
Dongle. I'm going to say the word dongle as much as possible and give it a sexual tone.
You know, I think dongle inherently.
You know what? All tech terms have that. You know
like
what I mean?
What else?
Insert. like, you know what I mean? Like, all of them do. I could go, yeah. I will think of next week, there's like 10 of them.
Nothing gets me more excited than USB.
USB. No, not that, but like.
Type C. That actually sounds like a sexually transmitted disease.
Eject. There's a whole bunch. Someone was going over them at a party the other day, like all the different.
Pixels. You know what I mean?
No, that's not sexual in any way. Anyway, let's move on this week.
This week, we're going to be talking about wearables.
Yeah, which I call unwearables.
Kara calls them unwearables. Yeah. They are my favorite topic.
Yeah.
They're Kara's least favorite topic.
They're my least favorite topic. They're not. I just think they're unwearable.
What are you wearing on your wrist right now?
A watch from Tissot. It's very nice. It tells the time. It's an analog watch. It tells the time. It doesn't have numbers on it. I just have to guess which one is 5 or 4 or whatever. But I like it a lot.
It's pretty nice looking.
It's a nice watch. And I was wearing a Timex Indiglo the other day. And I was someone who was a little bit younger than me. It was ticking. And they're like, what is that? And I was like, it's a wind-up watch. And this is the way we used to have it back in the day. So I like watches, yeah. But I don't like my Apple Watch. But here's what I've been doing lately with all these unwearables. I found them all in a drawer, and I put them on a table, and I'm going to go through them again and give them another chance. I had the Apple Watch there, but I keep recharging them and never doing it. So, but I have them all. I've got the Fitbit. I've got the Jawbone. I've got the Apple Watch. I've got some other thing over there. And I'm going to try them on and wear each of them for a week and see if I don't hate them as much as I thought I did.
Well, you know, the Apple Watch you'll have to charge every single day.
I know that.
The others you can get by about five days to a week.
Yeah, but I'm going to try them all. I'm going to see what I don't like about them, and then I will report back.
Okay. So, yeah. Well, let us know.
But it's like an old relationship. I know it's going to go sour right away.
Right, right. They just keep bringing you back.
Yes, but I'm going to try them. I found them in a drawer, and I said I'm going to commit myself to trying.
By the way, if our listeners missed the earlier podcast that we did, this must have been 6 months ago now. It was a while ago. We did an entire podcast devoted to Kara's unlove of the unwearables.
Yes, so I'm going back. I'm going to try them just for you. That's what I'm going to do, because I know how much you love them. And so you're wearing one of those giant things on your wrist.
Well, I'm wearing a new Fitbit.
I know. It's enormous.
Two new Fitbits were announced earlier this week. This is the Charge 2.
It's ridiculously large.
What do you think about the Flex, the other one?
The one you showed me a picture of?
Yeah, I'm not wearing it now.
It's fine. It looks the same. It looks like a little bit like a Jawbone.
That's
with
the Flex 2.
Yeah.
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 But not this one.
It's
doesn't
not jewelry. I know they put it next to jewelry, but it's not jewelry. Just let me just say that.
There are jewelry accessories for. So the Flex 2 is like a little pod that you can pop out and then put into a fancy bracelet.
This
and
one leaves me cold. I got to tell you, that's a big thing. I was watching Elysium last night with Jodie Foster, and she had a Bulova one like that on her wrist because she was like blowing up the world with it. And she kept like hitting it and killing people.
Okay.
And
Let's just keep that one away from Donald Trump.
Yes, I know. It was enormous. It was enormous. It was just ridiculous.
Enormous.
Yeah, I used that because it was an iPhone. So it was a big square, and it said Bulova, and that was the cute part. Oh, haha, Bulova.
I just got a notification.
Did you? What did it say?
Run away from Kara Swisher.
Oh, my God. Why is that one better, that Fitbit?
Explain so the Charge 2.
There's two, right?
There's two.
Okay, explain the easy one.
The easy one is the Flex 2.
Okay, so it's the same
one
they
had. That's the successor to the Flex,
which
was one of the simplest Fitbits
you could
get.
Yes, totally simple, and that weird
thing
came out.
There are more than half a dozen now. There's like the Zip and the One, and those are super simple.
Right.
And then there's the Flex, which is the wristband. And this is the Flex 2.
Okay.
I don't know. It has a bunch of little LED lights on the top, so it doesn't have a display.
Right, okay.
It's really simple. It tracks your steps.
So it just like shoots lights that you don't understand again.
I actually don't like that.
Yeah, I think
I haven't used it enough yet.
Why is this lighting up?
The Misfit does that.
Yes, they all do.
I haven't used the Flex 2 enough to actually get frustrated with it.
Right, okay.
But generally, any wearable company that puts out a product and says, it doesn't have a display, but it has a series of LED lights that'll tell you when you've gotten a certain notification from Snapchat versus your calendar.
Like you're a merchant marine.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God.
Like, how many people look down during the day? It's Morse code.
Ridiculous.
I don't know about you, but I don't look down during my very busy day.
So
and
does
say,
it? Does
oh,
it
it's
buzz
combination
at you?
Purple,
so
green,
it doesn't show
red.
You text or anything else, right? Or alerts?
Well, no. What it'll do. So there are 5 LED lights, and one is color coded. And when that one lights up, it'll tell you a certain thing.
There's a non-headphones from Apple. 26 Verge people are on it.
Just warning you, this podcast is going to go off the rails a little bit, everybody. Thank you for staying with us.
So, okay, so that one you like that is smaller, right?
Well, I haven't really worn that one yet for an extended period of time, but it's smaller and it's for the type of consumer that either says, I like Fitbits, but I just want a basic
$99
step counter.
What does it actually
Steps.
Sleep.
Calories burned, distance traveled. But because you don't have the display, you really are going to have to open the app in order to see it.
So it coordinates with the app in your hands.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, calories burned, whatever.
Calories burned, distance traveled.
All right.
So you have steps, which might be like 6,000 steps, but then you're going to open it, it'll say like 0.29 miles or whatever it might be. And some people actually look at those types of activity trackers as supplemental, which I know is crazy because you are so unwearable person.
No, you know, I use my iPhone a lot. I carry my iPhone. When I've just started this new Nike running club thing, and I've been using my iPhone. I'm going to try to do it with a watch, but I find out how many steps I do with my iPhone because I carry it everywhere all day.
Well, some people might, like, let's say you have a dedicated Garmin, you know, because you're training for a triathlon, or you have the Fitbit Surge because you're a runner.
Right.
And so you have this big clunky thing that you're going to wear for your workouts because you're very serious about those workouts, but then you want something that's going to track you all day long and you're not using an iPhone app. Yeah. Some people might actually invest in something like a $99 bracelet like tracker for that sort of thing.
I still think
that's not really the primary category. I think this is just Fitbit wants to address the super simple fitness track, you know, step counting market.
Yeah,
and this is that.
I just want an exoskeleton. If I could have an exoskeleton, that would be useful.
An exoskeleton would just drag you down.
No, wouldn't I be able to punch out walls also and also understand my step count?
You're talking about like a suit?
Yes, an exoskeleton. It just monitors everything.
I can't possibly understand how a person who does not want to wear something on her wrist
if they're going to do something on her entire body. My point is a really subtle and important one, is that these things don't do enough. They don't do enough.
No, they don't.
They do just very
well. They're
little.
Not FDA approved. And that's a whole other conversation.
Right, okay.
But they're not, you know, these aren't like serious medical devices.
All right, let's talk about the look of them, because that thing is really.
Okay, so
this
is
not
the
wearing that
to
a ball or a nice restaurant, right?
Are you asking me to a ball?
No, I'm not. Never.
Yeah, my hopes.
What do you wear that? Where do you wear that thing
with?
I see that. Yeah, move along. So, what do you wear that to? Because it's big.
This is, so you're going
to find. It looks like you're in not witness, like you drank too much and you've got one of those things around your, like Lindsay Lohan. It looks like a Lindsay Lohan device, right? Like they're watching you carefully, like around your.
Am I Lindsay Lohan?
Yes,
circa,
that's what I'm calling you.
Mean Girls?
No,
or like
no,
Lindsay Lohan
no, after she went off the rails.
Yeah,
exactly.
For real.
And
when
she's wearing like a tracker,
thanks,
didn't she?
Kara.
Didn't she have to wear a tracker? That's what it looks like.
Yeah.
It looks like something a court would put on you for misbehaving.
Well, this, you're going to find this hard to believe.
Sorry, Fitbit.
This one right here called the Charge 2.
Yeah.
It's actually the follow-up to the Charge HR.
I know.
Which has been the best-selling Fitbit of all time.
Wow, okay.
So even though Fitbit now has more than half a dozen different Fitbits, and they came out with one this year that people called a smartwatch, even though it's not a smartwatch.
Why did they do part deux? Why did they do the two?
They improved it in a few different ways. The display is bigger. So before it just used to be like a little strip, and now it's
100% more clunky. Go ahead.
It's definitely, it's thick.
Yeah.
It's pretty thick
on my wrist. It also sits above your wrist. That's the other thing.
The other one kind of did that too.
Did it? I don't know.
Yeah, the Charge HR, the old one, had optical or heart rate sensor. Yeah. So does this one. But this one actually tracks multiple specific exercises.
Okay.
So before, like the Charge HR would just say like, I'm going for a run. Great. Here are your steps. This one, you can like program it to say I'm biking, I'm running, I'm doing treadmill runs, I'm doing this.
Yeah,
there's also,
never get recorded.
Yeah, this one, well, you can actually, there's a mode and I've used it. You can lift weights. I've lifted weights with this a couple times, and you go to the weights option and then you hold the button down and it'll track your quote unquote weightlifting session. Even though a lot of that, I think it doesn't actually know what you're doing, but Then there's also a breathing function. Actually, it's called Relax.
Meditation?
Yeah, which you may remember that Apple Watch recently announced WatchOS 3 for the watch, and
there was a
breathing. So this is like becoming the thing, right?
Breathing.
Where
what do
every,
you do?
The irony escapes nobody that we're relying on all these silly gadgets to tell us to calm our asses down.
Yeah. Okay, so it just says breathing.
But so it says relax. And then if I held this
button
down.
Yeah. And what is it
would take me through. First, it's going to take my heart rate.
Still, take a slow, deep
breath.
So
Fitbit's saying
that. So you have to watch it tell you to meditate? You don't want to listen to it in your ear?
No, you have to just watch it. You look down and you breathe.
Oh, my goodness.
And Fitbit is saying that this is custom. This is like customizable breathing exercises because they're taking your heart rate first.
All right, okay. You know, I meditated in Uber today. So I felt like such a San Francisco. It didn't work very well.
Why? What did you do to meditate? Like,
I just haven't. I'm trying these meditation apps out. We should do the whole meditation set. But I was just trying one of them out, and I just was exactly the amount of time the drive where I was going to lunch, and so I did. I see if it would work in the car. It did. It was good.
It did work.
Yeah, it was fine. I mean, I was thinking of like a million things because I have a monkey mind. In case you're interested, that's what they call it.
What?
A monkey mind.
What is
read
that?
Up on it. It's like people who have like can't stop thinking of things. But that's okay, according to meditative people. It's okay.
Oh.
You just bring it back to the breath.
Meditation is really all the rage. We had someone speaking
actually,
at Code Conference earlier this year about the meditation app that's very expensive. What is it
Headspace.
Called?
That's what I was using.
You were using Headspace.
Yeah, it's not that expensive. They're all. I'm just trying them all out. They're interesting. I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's a good thing to calm down. I actually do. I like it.
I have an idea.
Right.
Why don't we
But
do,
I don't want my Fitbit to tell me
Why don't
to keep
we do an entire
down.
Podcast?
Yeah.
Where we just meditate.
The whole time?
The whole time. Like 38 minutes.
No, I don't think so.
And then we'll say,
We'll take a break to talk about socks.
We're going
to
talk back at Fitbit
Qualcomm now.
But anyway, I don't want my Fitbit to tell me to meditate.
This one's $149.
Wow. Okay. So
ships
how many
weeks.
Fitbits are there now?
There are more than half a dozen. There are, I think, seven different offerings.
Seven. So you're
these
just
two
confused
effectively
in the Best Buy.
Replace the old ones. This one replaces the Charge HR. The Flex 2 replaces the Flex.
Which is why you need the Breathe thing. Because when you go into Best Buy, you're like, what the hell? Is there another cook circuit?
There's so many now.
Yeah, there's so many. There,
but it's the same strategy that a lot of these companies are taking. It's the same strategy as Garmin, which is let's throw a new runner's watch at the mall, the wall.
I can't
Misfit.
I have to go back to high school to understand those. It's past me. There's so many buttons and stuff. So what's the difference? Is there a real difference? You just have more features. Each of them, for the $10 more, you get more features, essentially.
Fitbit is very strategically trying to make a tracker that is just everywhere a consumer might be.
Right.
Essentially.
So it's different. And they
Fitbit's
just go
a public
up in price.
Company now.
Yeah, right. How are they doing?
They went public a year ago.
Right.
And so last year they put out, I think they put out three new devices in 2015. Mm-hmm. That was the Charge HR. Mm-hmm. What was the other one? I actually can't. Oh, the Charge HR, and then the Surge, which
Blaze,
was a performance one.
Blaze?
This year, they've come out on a couple of earnings calls and said, we're going to have more products this year than we ever had in other years.
Right.
And basically what they do is, if you look at their product lineup very carefully, you realize that, this one will have GPS built in, but this one only has connected GPS. Or this one has heart rate sensors, but this one doesn't. Well, this one only tracks your steps. Well, this one too, but this one looks more like a pretty bracelet, and this one's like a rubber bracelet. And you realize that they're doing like this very kind of classic product differentiation among all of their gadgets and their trackers.
Yeah.
And so they want to try to serve, they have incredible brand recognition and they're trying to serve everybody in the market that they can. And I have to imagine some of that is coming from sort of pressure on the investor side to put out more and more stuff.
Absolutely.
And,
until they run out of air.
Try to keep innovating.
It's a little like the drop cams or GoPros. They've got to keep exciting their audience.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. So what's their competition? What's the biggest competition?
Well, that's a really good question. It depends on who you ask.
All right. I'm asking you. I said that to Steve Jobs once. Do you know that?
How did he take that? Did he say it depends on who you ask? And he said,
I'm asking you. Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. Well, then Jobs. I can't remember. It was someone who
does that mean I should be very mercurial?
No,
right
I need
now,
you to answer the question.
Okay. Like, so if you look at the smartwatch, some people will say, Fitbit's competing in the smartwatch space.
So with Jawbone.
No, I mean actual smartwatches.
Space,
people like Apple who are making smartwatches. The Android Wear platform, right? And that's on a bunch of different smartwatches now.
I call them differently abled watches, but go ahead. They're not that smart.
Differently abled. Mm-hmm. Some people will say, Fitbit is still basically an activity tracking company. And so they're competing with other makers of activity trackers.
Which there are many. Jawbone.
Of which there are dozens. Yeah. So many. Everybody has activity tracker.
Think?
Well, then some analysts, when they're looking at the wearables market, whether just in the US like the NPD group does or the global market like IDC does, they lump them all together.
Mm-hmm.
They'll position a Fitbit against a Xiaomi, against a Garmin, against an Apple, and they just say, wearables are wearables. They go on the wrist and this is what they're doing.
Yeah, because analysts are so discriminating.
Well, I just think right now there actually is a pretty legitimate product differentiation between them. I mean, what smartwatches are trying to be is a new platform for third-party applications. Their battery lives tend to pretty much suck. They have different displays. They have enough touchscreen displays. And the value proposition is different. The value proposition is now you're going to have this little mini computer on your wrist.
Right.
Something like a Fitbit, they're offering some of those features, but I think at the end of the day, they're positioning themselves as a health and wellness company and a health and wellness
which
software
is
company as well.
Jawbone's trying to do. Because I ran into Hossein the other day, and he said he was describing his company to someone. I was giving him a hard time, as usual. And he's like, we're in the health area now.
Right. And actually at our code conference, not this past fall, I think it was the fall before, I forget exactly when it was, but Hossein did come on stage and said, we're not a hardware company anymore. We're a health and wellness software company. And so they've been saying that for a while, And so I think that maybe there will be this convergence eventually where just something that you wear on your body does like all of these things. They're a platform for apps. They do health and fitness. They do all this. But right now there's still a differentiation. So Fitbit's competitor, it actually depends on the product, in my opinion.
Right.
If you're looking at a super simple tracker, then it's any other company that makes a simple tracker. It could be Xiaomi, which actually sells tons of their $15 trackers.
That was great looking.
I mean, it's super cheap.
That's a good
but if you look
tracker.
At Fitbit Blaze.
I think the Chinese government is also tracking you in that case, but go ahead.
Oh, conspiracy theories. We should do a whole podcast on that. And
I like the Xiaomi one.
But yeah, but then if you look at something like the Fitbit Blaze, people say, oh, Fitbit's trying to compete in the smartwatch market because that's more like a watch.
So the Blaze didn't do well, right? That ugly Blaze.
It actually has done fairly well to the point where Fitbit says that the new Fitbit Blaze and Alta, which came out earlier this year, accounted for more than 50% of their sales last quarter.
Wow.
But the stock took a hit. Mm-hmm. It was it was received in a very unflattering way when it was announced at CES.
Because people thought it was ugly, right?
Well, because people thought that the Fitbit was trying to compete with the Apple Watch. They saw this watch-like form factor and this touchscreen, this bright, colorful touchscreen display, and the way that Fitbit was saying, oh, it does this, and it does this, and it does notifications, and it does this. And they said, oh, well, Fitbit's trying to be a smartwatch company now.
Right.
And it wasn't as well received. And so stock actually took a pretty big hit.
And what's the future of Fitbit? And then we're going to get to questions from our audience.
Well, Fitbit's going to try to do, I think, a few things at once. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to try to just put out more and more of these products, these, you know, you want to call them iterative, iterative products in the short term to maintain their market lead, because they are by far the market leader in activity tracking and wearable devices right now. I think that they've also been trying to push their corporate wellness program. It's still a very small part of their revenue, but they do have partnerships with Fortune 500 companies where they say, okay, distribute your Fitbits to all your employees, and you do like basically employee tracking, which I know you're going to have another conspiracy theory about.
No, cannot do that.
But yeah,
again,
I mean, that's another thing. That's
just like everyone gets an ecto or a little thing behind their
head. With VR headsets on, so you never have to leave your office.
Never go to your office.
So there's that. There's this idea of like, well, we'll become a wellness platform. But then I think at the end of the day, Fitbit, like every other wearable tech company, has to have some cool stuff up their sleeve, no pun intended.
With the content. I like the Nike stuff. I have to say, the Nike stuff is pretty cool. All their different apps are pretty well done.
So you're saying in terms of software.
They're useful. Like, I'm actually like doing a 5K thing, because you and I are going to run a 5K together. I don't know if you know that.
Oh,
but they have a training program. They have interesting articles. They have like, it's more, I use the app, obviously, and then it records, but it also is more than that. I need more.
Well, that's the thing. All of these companies aren't just selling devices. They're trying to get people hooked into their ecosystem. And the way they do that is through software. Like one of the things that Fitbit just announced with these new devices is they said, oh, we have this new feature on our app called Adventures. And now you go into the adventure section of the app. And if you complete this trail in Yosemite, you set a personal goal or personal challenge for yourself all that stuff. And but if you look at a company like Strava, which has huge engagement because of the amount of community they've built up, the amount of users that just go on there because they want to compete with their friends that are cycling or running or whatever it is. And so
you gotta have a thing.
I'm not saying, by the way,
as Mama Rose says, you gotta have a gimmick.
Well, yeah, I mean, and I'm also not saying that Strava is necessarily, like, I'm not measuring out their success right now, but I'm just using that as an example of a software company that doesn't have hardware that has managed to build a community just within the app. And I think all of the hardware companies ultimately want to do that too, because the stickiness is in the software.
Yes.
So I think Fitbit is going to have to figure out how they get people actually, you know, checking their app and being engaged.
I like
and not
their
just throwing
scale.
These things in a drawer.
Their scale is nice. Okay. We're going to get answers and questions from our readers in a minute. We're going to do that. But before that, while others are talking about 5G, Qualcomm has been creating it. Just as they pioneered many 3G and 4G technologies, they're now pushing the boundaries of LTE, collaborating with industry leaders and spearheading the research efforts needed to make 5G a reality. Their innovations are critical to developing a wireless network designed to meet our world's ever-increasing data demands, of which are ever-increasing. 5G will provide a layer of connectivity fabric that is fundamental to everyday life. It will impact our jobs, our cities, our homes, and ourselves. So I've got a question for all of you. If you were an engineer at Qualcomm dreaming up the next Internet of Things innovations, what would you create? Can you think of ways that IoT might help the less fortunate, keep our families safe in our homes and cars, or help save the environment? And what about games, media, and entertainment? Tell us your idea on Twitter. Use the hashtags #WhyWait and #Sweeps, and we'll pick one lucky winner to have lunch with me and Lauren Good from Too Embarrassed to Ask. Again, that's #WhyWait and #Sweeps. For contest rules, please visit recode.net/WhyWait. You must be 18 to enter. The deadline is September 9th, and the monetary value of this lunch is 0.18 Bitcoin. Today's show is also sponsored by VideoBlocks, a stock media company that everyone can afford. With a VideoBlocks subscription, you get unlimited daily downloads from a library of 115,000 HD video clips, After Effects templates, motion backgrounds, and cinemagraphs. On average, subscribers pay less than $1 per download over the course of a year. This is the same content you'd find on more expensive sites, it's just way cheaper. VideoBlocks is always adding new content to the library so it stays fresh. As a subscriber, you get everything 100% royalty-free even if you cancel your subscription. You heard that right. Whether you're working on a personal or commercial products, you pay zero royalties and keep what you download forever. VideoBlocks is offering our listeners a one-year subscription for $99. That's $50 off the usual price tag for our listeners only. That's less than $10 a month. Get your yearly subscription today for only $99 at videoblocks.com/ask. That's VideoBlocks, which is VideoBlocks.com/ask for this exclusive offer. Every week, we ask our readers and listeners to send us their questions, comments, and complaints about tech topics, and you can do that by tweeting us with the hashtag TooEmbarrassed. This week, we asked our listeners for their questions about Fitbit and really any other wearable or unwearable they might be curious about. Lauren, do you want to read the first question?
Absolutely,
Kara.
All
right, then.
You did such a good job
on those
ad reads,
Thank you.
By the way.
I'm getting good at it.
It was very
I'm good at flacking.
Making that money.
Making the money, cha-ching.
First question is from @LonesWords on Twitter, who asks, what's the accuracy of the heart rate tracking on Charge 2? Is it improved at all?
Ah, so he's saying it was bad.
Well, he wasn't just saying it was bad. I'm going to read into this a little bit.
All right.
I think he was referring to the fact that earlier this year, Fitbit was hit with a class action lawsuit by a group of consumers who said that the heart rate tracking claims were not accurate, especially when it came to things like intense exercises.
That's a problem.
Yeah. And so that is something that Fitbit is still dealing with. I did ask Fitbit about this in regards to the Charge 2, and they said it's the same exact heart rate sensing technology that they've used before. Fitbit calls this Pure Pulse because they say it's proprietary, but ultimately, it's the same exact heart rate tracking you're going to get in the other Fitbit devices.
Right.
It's not changed. It's not improved. It's not worsened. It's just what it is, what it is. I cannot comment on the accuracy of it yet based on my own tests because I haven't done those tests yet. Usually what we do is we like we'll wear a chest, like a polar chest strap and compare it to a reading that we're getting from that.
Or just an old watch with your finger. That works too.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, who has time for that when you're like your heart rate's at like 150 and you're sweating and, you know, someone's screaming at you to spin faster on the bike. But Fitbit says in their view that the study that was cited in that lawsuit is meritless and they're going to continue to fight those claims and all that. And they always say that they're constantly improving on their technology. But at the end of the day, Roger,
we don't know.
That was his name, Lone's Words on Twitter. It's the same heart rate technology as in prior models.
We have no idea if it's improved at all, in other words.
We don't
know
yet.
Ever improving, as Silicon Valley likes to tell us.
We don't know yet, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Next one, Miss Lauren Good.
What's the phrase?
They're lying most of the time. What? I'm sorry. It's most people I cover, but go ahead.
No, the learning by shipping.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, the next question is from someone who has sent in a few questions over the past few weeks. So I think that's a good thing because it means you're listening. Thank you, David, for listening. But also, we'll have to vary it up a little bit. This is from @the0dd1. My friend has a Fitbit, but I have a watch. Watch is capitalized, so I'm
Apple
assuming
watch.
He means Apple Watch. Is there a way to view each other's activity progress? Hashtag too embarrassed.
Well,
Kara, I don't know. What would you do? I'm going to ask you. I'm going to throw this on
cross,
even though I know the answer, I'm going to put this on you.
Cross-watching.
See, you make everything sound dirty.
Not that there's anything wrong
everything
with
that. Everything in technology.
Not that there's anything wrong. I feel living in San Francisco, anybody should be able to watch anybody's activity.
Oh, you actually meant watching,
yes,
like watch, with your eyes. I'm such a dork. I was thinking watches.
No, I'm making a pun. It's a little too hard for you. It's above your ability to be witty, but I'm sure that's possible. I bet you could sign into someone's Apple. You can share. There's probably some sharing thing on my Apple thing, and vice versa on Fitbit. That would be my guess.
My solution.
Okay, which
here's
your solution?
My solution.
Yeah. You can always share. It seems
Fitbit,
like they always want you to share.
Fitbit actually does not sync on the back end of their software
with
Google Fit or Apple Health.
Oh, why not?
Those are back end software systems that both Apple and Google have come up with to allow third party app developers to patch into
they
share data.
You're right.
Well,
they
Fitbit
don't.
Doesn't because I think they see it maybe as it's why would they share their data to their competitors?
It's helpful for consumers.
And it would be great for consumers.
Okay.
I think they just want people in their software ecosystem. And then Fitbit has some partnerships directly with third-party app makers.
Okay.
So what I would probably recommend doing to someone like David who has this question is I would choose an app – third-party app that both Apple Watch and Fitbit share data to.
It's like the Mideast Peace Talks. We've got to get this person in here to talk this person because this person's not talking.
It is. It's super fragmented.
It's like a recent episode of Madam Secretary, which is my favorite show.
I love Madam Secretary.
You know what? She does not wear a Fitbit, just so you know.
She wears an Apple Watch.
No. She wears just a regular classy watch.
I don't know. No, I've seen wearables on that show.
Really?
I've noted them before because I'm a dork like that. Right, I think one of them might even have a Samsung Gear watch. And in either case.
Maybe the hunky
So
husband.
What I would do is I would, I know, he's hunky.
And he always has an answer to the world crisis.
He
solves friggin' crises.
I know. And he has no ego. No. He's like the perfect.
Okay. We shouldn't go to war with Russia. And here's why. And everyone else is headed right to war. And like he solves it in 4 seconds.
Yes.
I don't like this memo. Anyway, go ahead.
Sorry. Okay, so what's Switzerland for software in this case? I'm going to go with something like a Strava or a Runkeeper.
So they both
you
will
pick an
pop
app
into
that
those.
Fitbit's going to share its data to, and right. then Apple Watch is so going to share its data to.
Do they
and
care
then,
about consumers? It's so ridiculous.
Well, that's what we're here for.
I know, but
you
it's
and
ridiculous.
I
you have to go to like Strava to get them to, anyway.
It is.
I noticed that Fitbit doesn't coordinate. My
They don't work
my,
with HealthKit.
They
do not work with Apple HealthKit. But you can share
that.
Directly to things like MyFitnessPal or Strava.
I don't
There's a whole
that.
Bunch of them.
I don't
but
want to do that. Anyway, read the next question. I'm very irritated.
Do you want to read
people.
The next one?
You no, you go ahead. I
okay.
like you reading.
This one is from Tim. He's at Wrights 37. Need speed tracker.
Wait, he's the 37th Wrights? There's that many Wrights? Anyway, go ahead.
Well, he spells Wrights
R-E-I-T-Z. I know. How many of those can there be? 37 of them? All right, whatever.
Maybe that's his favorite number, Kara.
Okay, fine.
All right. He says, need speed tracker, comma, GPS, heart rate, elevation, and time splits without being tied to a phone. Possible? Hashtag runner. Hashtag too embarrassed. Kara, you're going down that route with this 5K stuff and Nike
God.
Running and all
Whatever.
This.
Yeah, I don't
it's
need
a slippery
all that
slope.
I don't need to speed.
No,
I'm slow. Speed tracker, slow. GPS, I don't know where the fuck I am. Heart rate, dying. Elevation, as flat as possible, but there's so many hills in San Francisco. And I don't even know what time and splits are. All right, there you go.
Tim, my advice to you would be to go with a dedicated device like a Garmin or a Polar. You can get a Garmin Forerunner that does this stuff. You can get something like the Forerunner, the Forerunner 35, the Forerunner 735 XT if you're more into cross training. Polar has a whole bunch. They have a line that's very basic. They have sort of a mid-range line, then they have a more serious line
of
wearables. Yeah, they're like the M's and the V's, and like off the top of my head, it's really their naming
just
conventions
go over
are really
to like
pretty.
An REI and look at them for
pretty
a while,
terrible,
right?
Yeah. But or go to TheVerge.com because we write about a bunch of them, and I would say Tim, that's going to be my answer for you.
The Garmins, those are the ones who are really serious runners, right?
Yeah, yeah I would say, and yeah. Polar too.
Yeah,
and Suunto.
The yeah, there's
there
a bunch
are a few
of them.
Out there.
I see them and I just walk past them very quickly.
That are
yeah.
I'm going to get you into one of them.
No.
Yes.
Never. They're gigantic.
You know what the best thing is about them?
Have you seen my wrist lately?
You know what the best thing is? Like my Garmin?
Yeah.
Lasts 7 days on a charge.
Okay.
Which, by the way, a basic Fitbit will do too.
Yeah.
But a basic Fitbit's not going to do all of this stuff.
Way too complicated. I had a watch like that once and I just gave me a headache and I threw it at the wall.
Did you actually throw it at the wall?
Yes, I did. I do things like that.
I wish I had that
on video.
I
throw things on the wall. Yeah. I do it all the time.
I wish I had that on your flip camera.
No longer. All right. Next one. I'm going to read this one.
Okay.
Jamie Favaza. Oh, I like that name. Favaza. Favorite wearable recommendations for tracking walking fitness? What should a first-time wearable wearer know? A wearable wearer. That's
a wearable wearer.
Yeah.
Tracking walking? Like probably a Fitbit.
Or just one of those cheap little pedometers, right? What do you need all that?
Oh, yeah, but then you have to wear that on your hip.
So what?
It's like a clip-on on your hip.
Just,
and
just carry around your phone,
dorky
Jamie. Just carry around your phone, right? It'll have enough.
Yeah, but the thing about a phone is that you don't always have your phone on you.
Well, I do.
Well, yes, but you're special.
Yeah.
Let's say, you know, you're the person that works in an office and then her phone is next to her desk and then someone says, hey, want to go grab a cup of coffee? And you say, sure. And you run out and like you leave your phone there or you're running around the house and
you
leave
just put in your clothes and put in your pocket.
Yeah, you can do a clip-on tracker like that, which is I think the Zip or the One.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Those are the simple clip-ons.
You can put them in your pocket too.
You can do something like that. My advice to you, Jamie, is going to be this. The thing to know about these wearables, if you're a first-time wearable wearer, and I love that you said that, is that you're going to want to check the software compatibility first because not all these trackers are going to work with every smartphone. So you want to go with something that's either going to work with iOS or Android or both, depending on what operating system you're on. You're also going to want to look at price, because if you are a first-time wearable wearer, I do not recommend spending more than $100 on one of these things, because it might end up in a drawer.
Yes, it will.
You're going to want to look at the back-end software integration. So if you're someone that, say, likes to track your food or track other things with other apps, see if these devices work with those apps as well. And then just be prepared to basically charge these things a lot, because a lot of them, I mean, you could get something like a Garmin VivoFit, which uses a coin cell battery, and that lasts up to a year. You don't even need to charge it. And that's a pretty good value proposition right there. A lot of them, though, you end up charging.
You
and
don't
want like,
to think about it is what you want to say.
Yeah, you wanted to get the simplest thing when you're first getting started.
Next one. We've got quite a few this week.
People really care about this stuff, Kara.
I see that.
Unwearables. This one is from Mark Reedy. He's at Mark Reedy on Twitter. What's the only wearable wrist or other that measures hydration in real time with cutting edge
hydration?
Hydration. So
LVL band, what's that?
Oh, I have a feeling he is shilling for whatever this band is.
All right, whatever.
Well, here, you know what? Here's my answer. There's not your whatever yours is, it's not the only one. I'm going to tell you that.
Okay.
A lot of people make those claims and it's not. Mm-hmm. Second of all, I don't believe at this point any consumer wearable really does this or has done this
feels
effectively.
Like a lawsuit waiting to happen.
Go ahead. I know Jawbone, when they first introduced the Jawbone Up 3 for a while, I think they were saying, oh, some of our sensors are going to be eventually able
technology.
To, interpret hydration in some way. I don't
skin
think that has happened yet. Back in January.
Some Japanese toilets do that, by the way, but go ahead.
Really?
They sensor everything, but go ahead. I'm not going to go there right now.
Oh.
That's another show.
Like your butt sweat?
A lot of stuff. Anyway. We'll get into that
apparently,
later.
Apparently, Mark, you should just buy a Japanese toilet.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a every so often we'll get a news report about a patch or some type of sensor that's going to do this. Like earlier this year in January, we heard about a new sensor from University of California, Berkeley, that was supposed to be able to measure electrolytes and sweat and things like that. We could get really deep and nerdy on this, but at the end of the day, I don't think there's anything out there
that
I've used that effectively tracks
monitor
hydration.
Everything. You'll put on a patch of some sort and it'll tell you everything.
Right, but then we get into that whole FDA thing eventually.
Right,
where
I'm
the more and more
these they're going to have patches on everything. They'll be able to tell everything about you eventually.
Probably.
Yeah.
That's how we'll authenticate.
It'll be
a series of patches,
patches
on our electro. What are they called? The suit that you want?
Exoskeleton. That's different.
Exoskeleton.
That's only for the heroes like myself. Fight the power. Any next question is, I'm not even going to pronounce this, Swastik Satpathy. I'm sure I mispronounced it and I apologize. Why have they placed the button on the inside? What about people with full sleeves? Pull up and use? Do they track that too?
Oh okay. So the button, I actually just mentioned this to someone the other day, to a friend, and I said, why is the button on this side? Because on Garmin's, a lot of times the start button is on where your right index finger would be. And in the case of the Charge 2 that I'm looking at right now, the button is where your thumb is. So it's on the lower side of the band. I believe this is because you are more likely to trigger the button or cause some type of false positive.
Watch is on the other side.
With the way when your wrist goes like this, when it bends. Like you'll notice a lot of surf tracking watches won't have buttons on that side near the top of your wrist and underside of your hand, because when you're popping up on the board, you're doing this, and so you're more likely to hit the button.
I have
like
no
on
idea
this
what
side,
you're talking about, but all right.
Kara is so
I never
intrigued by right. She is so. We want to go surfing.
No,
soon?
Never.
I'm actually not a very good surfer.
Not
do
even
you want
once.
To go paddleboarding with me?
I've done that. That's easy.
You're
that's
not
really
answering
old
my question.
Sure. Okay.
Okay.
Not with you, but yes.
So that's my understanding for the person who sent in the question about the button. It's so you won't hit it accidentally when you bend your wrist.
All right. Next one.
The last question is from, this is actually an emailed question, Joshua from Indianapolis, Indiana. Josh, thanks for emailing us.
So nice they named it twice, but go ahead.
Josh says, my third charge is on its last leg. Non-replaceable wristband is being held together by super glue. He loves this
quality
thing.
In our time.
Fitbit would not replace the band, gave me a 25% coupon off my next Fitbit. I don't care for the questionable heart rate function in the Charge HR, nor the slim design of the Alta. Should I wait for the new Charge or jump ship from Fitbit? I'm a Fitbit fanatic, keeping track of calories with Fitness Pal app, my weight loss with the Aria scale, my daily steps with the Fitbit watch and app. I'm all in with Fitbit, but I'm disappointed with the durability of the product.
Sounds like you're kind of in for a diamond for a dollar here. Right?
Well,
a lot of dollars.
Yeah. I mean, so I actually, Josh, I wrote to Fitbit for you And I said,
Lauren pulls the strings.
We have a reader who has this question, and I want to understand your return policy because it seems like he's very disappointed with the durability of this.
Yeah.
They said that the warranty policy includes, first, a 45-day satisfaction guarantee. So you have that 45-day window to return something. It seems like you're out of that, Josh. Then a one-year limited warranty in which Fitbit will repair or replace a device with a hardware issue. But the problem is that they don't actually differentiate between what is a malfunctioning band versus what is just very worn and torn. So you're going to have to, it sounds like you've done this already, call customer service, get on the phone with them, explain to them whether it's something that's
sounds
not functioning.
Like you're beating the shit out of this
thing. Or whether it's right. It sounds to me, Josh, like you've just used this thing a lot.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it's not keeping it together. And now you're deciding whether or not you want to spend the money on a new one.
Yeah. So it looks like he's in the Fitbit universe. You should just stay there, Josh.
That's what I was going to say. You know? Like, imagine if you paid for a gym every month and you said, I love this gym. It's in a great location. It gets me motivated to go to the gym and all that stuff. But I'm bummed because the one bike I really like to ride in the gym is broken right now.
Yeah.
I would say stay in the same gym, find a different bike.
Yeah.
That would be, so my advice to you is if you really are all in the Fitbit ecosystem, you're probably just going to want to buy another Fitbit.
Yeah, and maybe not be so mean to your wristband. It sounds like you're ripping it off or something.
Try
maybe.
Not wearing it in the shower.
I'm not trying to blame you, Joshua.
Yeah, and I don't know if you're wearing it in the shower or anything else, but you may want to, you know, try to protect it a little more.
Be a little loving to your Fitbit. Be a little nicer.
Yeah, like Kara is to her Fitbits.
No.
Kara, I have an idea.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Kara, you have a drawer full of unwearables.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Why don't you
send
one
Josh?
Yeah.
I think I have a charge.
All right.
Yeah,
well, if
black.
You find it, let me know and we'll get Josh.
I know where it is. It's sitting right there on my thing and I'm looking at it.
Kara's going to go wait in line in FedEx for you, Josh.
No, I'm not. Absolutely not. Anyway, this has been fascinating, Lauren Good.
Are you really fascinated?
I am. I love your love of these things. You like have such hopefulness about this.
So it's funny that you say that because sometimes I think like 5 years from now, I'm going to be looking back and saying, I tweeted this recently. Like, I can't believe the amount of time I've spent just like live blogging, tweeting, writing about wrist Tamagotchis with stains down my shirt, not having slept for days.
It's an interesting challenge. I'm
fascinated by wearable technology. Yeah. I think that between that and voice control and AI, like this is all going to sort of
you're gonna have a
be
little
the
thing
next
behind
wave
your
of
head
computing.
That's going to monitor everything behind your ear or something that's going to be embedded. And it's going to do all this stuff. And it's going to tell you how exercise, how healthy you are, everything else. That's where I think it's going. So these things are pointless. You're not going to wear them. It's going to be your body. That's my feeling.
It's just going to be your body.
Something behind the ear, something very subtle. You can hear things, get messages.
Mm-hmm.
It'll talk to you, talk to it. Like, how am I feeling today? Oh, you ate too many bagels this morning.
Was someone at one of our code conferences once, I think it was Benedict Evans, said something really smart in a presentation, which is a lot of the technologies that end up being game-changing start out looking or feeling like toys.
Yes.
People write them off as toys, and then they actually end up becoming pretty serious or disruptive technology. And I'm not saying that is Fitbit. Fitbit in terms of how it does as a company and all that, I'm not like here to make projections about that. But I do think that like I call them Tamagotchis, right? Because they just require so much of you right now. They don't give you that much back, but I do think there's something to be said about like maybe we will be looking back one day and saying, oh, remember when everyone wore Fitbits and they were ugly and everyone looked so silly, but we might the next wave of big computing
well directionally
big
it's
wave
correct
of computing
directionally
might
it's correct
actually be something in a vein
it is not that's
right.
what I feel like
right.
directionally it is absolutely right that we want to monitor ourselves, the quantified self. I get that and I understand why I'm interested too, you know what I mean, but I just at some level these are so underwhelming. That's the issue. And I think they will be, I think in some way when they start to really do neural networks and, you know, some of the stuff that Elon Musk was talking about at the conference.
Injecting things into your veins.
Like, why not? It makes, you know, there's lots of issues. Why not? But, you know, it seems like that's what will happen. Something will be placed near or around you.
The human instinct for self-betterment will, I think, always be present in some way. It just may not be achieved through the particular devices we're wearing
right now. But
you sort
of want something that's like sitting behind your ear and you go for the Doritos and it says, stop, like put that down and like zaps you maybe, like if you want it to, like don't eat that. And you're like, oh yeah, I think I'll go for
a smart belt.
And something like that, you know.
I actually just got pitched one of those today.
Smart belt.
Another smart belt.
Well, you're fat and then it just does like.
It's like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It tells you when your gut is hanging over your jeans.
They're smart everything. That's smart. Anyway, this has been another great episode of Too Embarrassed to Ask.
If you enjoyed the episode as much as we did, or as I did.
As you did, clearly.
Be sure to subscribe to the show. You can leave us a review at itunes.com/too embarrassed to ask.
Yeah, we'll be doing Fitbit 2, 3, and 4 programs tomorrow. That's exciting. And subscribing is great. You'll be the first to listen to new episodes every Friday or catch up on previous episodes where we answer all of the tech questions that our listeners have been too embarrassed to ask.
That's itunes.com/too embarrassed to ask. You can also subscribe on Google Play Music, TuneIn, or Stitcher. And you can listen to every episode at recode.net/podcast. Just
the
go to the website.
Web way.
That's right.
The old web way. And while you're there, you should check out our other podcasts like Recode Decode, Recode Replay, and Recode Media with Peter Kafka.
The Verge.
Like my old man voice? You laughed there.
The Verge also.
Get off my internet.
The Verge also has some great podcasts for your listening pleasure. Kara, why don't you read this and do it in your excited Verge voice?
No, I will not. No. Go ahead. Oh my God. Wilma's or Nia Patel host Control Walk Sleep. They'll probably talk about the dongle. Neely also hosts The Verge Cast, where there will be dongle discussion. Chris Plan hosts What's Tech? More dongle. And Liz Lopato and Emily Rashida host The Verge ESP, where thankfully there'll be no discussion of the stupid headphone on the new iPhone. Thank you.
You never know.
No, they won't.
Could impact science or entertainment
well,
in some way.
Well, they'll talk about the impact on our psyche of having to talk about this stupid dongle and Donald Trump all the time. What is going wrong with this country?
Yeah, or Anthony Weiner.
Yeah. Don't even get to Anthony. You know what? I'm glad she left him, but honestly, he's just sexting. Like, I don't like the kid thing. The kid thing is disgusting. But I gotta tell you, like, do we have better things to worry about than, like, some guy who needs some mental help? I don't know. I just feel like...
Oh, my God.
Just leave him alone.
I cannot believe that you're actually condoning
Anthony. I'm not condoning it. It's just like
the documentary. You need to
watch it. I love the documentary. I actually liked him more after it because he was a troubled person and I felt some empathy.
I don't know if that has changed.
I don't condone it. Of course not. He's a pig. But you know what? Like, honestly, we have other things to worry about.
We do.
Thank you. Keep going.
You're next.
All right, don't forget to tweet your questions ahead of time, not about Anthony Weiner, at Recode with the hashtag too embarrassed. And don't send pictures like that either, by the way. I'm not welcoming of those. Thank you for listening. And thank you again to our sponsors, including you, Anthony Weiner, by the way. Thank you for listening. Thanks again to our sponsors, Audible, Qualcomm, and VideoBlox. Thanks also to Digital Media, which distributes this show. We'll be back next week to answer more of the questions that you've been too embarrassed to ask. Tune in then.